You're listening to the Trekmate Family Network.
And here we are talking to Vaughn Armstrong. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
We've obviously just sat through your talk, which is which was really enjoyable.
Well, thank you.
Could you just elaborate? You were talking about the Star Trek band that you've done.
Oh, the Enterprise Blues Band. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I was. I went to my first convention in Blackpool, England.
Oh yeah.
And there were, I think, maybe 3,000 people in the audience, and I walked out there, and it scared me to death. Behind me was a television, it was a screen with my head the size of the entire wall.
Yes.
And the people could see the sweat pouring down my face. Just scared to death. And I thought, I got to have something more fun to do than just talk to these people, because I don't really know what I'm talking about anyway. So I had my harmonica with me, and I took it out and started playing it, and
yeah.
I really seemed to enjoy it. So I had learned to play the ukulele, and I started writing a few songs, and I asked a couple of guys in the various shows, Casey Biggs,
yes.
Whose goal Damar was in Deep Space Nine, and Richard Hurd, who was Admiral Paris,
mm-hmm.
and a couple other guys, and every time I asked them, they said, yeah, I thought I'd have to talk him into it.
You didn't have to twist no one's arms.
And they were fabulous musicians, which I am not. So I thought, this is a thing to do. I'll get these guys to help me. And it became one of the biggest parts of my life. We spent a lot of time in my garage, and we were flown to Germany.
Excellent.
For our first performance.
Was that at FedCon or...?
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
No. It was at the one that closed. Galaxy...
I know the one that you mean.
Yeah. We got to think of the name of it.
Was that right to show the Galaxy?
No, that's England.
Oh, yeah.
No. I haven't been to no cons in Germany, so I wouldn't know.
Did you say it's available on iTunes?
Say again.
Is it available in your albums? Are they out?
Yeah, we have two albums. One is called Enterprise Blues Band, and the other is called Intergalactic Roots Music.
Yeah.
Ethan, may I ask you a very quick question?
Go on, mate.
In the speech you were doing in there, you said a hook of blue on your hands, and then you stopped the story. I was wondering what happened after
she... we don't want to get into that.
That was a joke.
But I promised myself that if I saw him again, I'd ask.
Yeah, sorry.
So one's called the Enterprise Blues Band.
And the other is called Intergalactic Roots Music.
Lovely.
And, they've sold quite well. You can find it on ebluesband.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess the Facebook page as well.
Yes.
And it's
your own Facebook as well?
The Enterprise Blues Band Facebook. Yeah.
And obviously throughout Star Trek you've been a plethora of characters.
Yes.
Other than obviously Admiral Forrest is going to be the number one guy. Not only for the number of days that you got your work,
also because he was only 10 minutes in the makeup chair.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. You didn't have to go through it for too long.
How long was the makeup to be a video?
Oh, that wasn't too bad. They just put it on in pieces.
Oh, was it like a mask?
There was a forehead, a chin, and then a bunch of pieces that they put on. But I guess of these, the most difficult to wear was the Hirogen. It was hot. And, water would come pouring out of my eyes and out of my mouth.
There's literally nowhere for the sweat to go. Some people would, tip their out of their ears.
So everybody thought I was a very sad idiot because they're just drooling and crying. But really, it was just sweat coming out of these orifices here.
I have to say, when you was in Eye of the Needle, I can't remember the name of the Romulan.
Telek Ramor. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm awful for names.
That's all right.
Your performance there was absolutely amazing because a lot of it, so much, was just you having one-on-one dialogue
with Kate Mulgrew. Yeah.
And it's to express so much emotion and stuff through without even seeing your face is at all.
Wow, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I really enjoyed that character. He was a bad guy with a heart. He was connected to the human race by the love of our children.
Yes.
You know, pretty much.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. He was obviously a scientist rather than your stereotypical angry bulb.
Yes. A very lonely scientist out in space by himself. Missed my kids like people do. Yeah. And that's what made it good.
No, so with that, I just felt that you don't absolutely look fantastic.
It's nice of you to say. Thank you. That was one of my facts.
Before you hit it big with acting, obviously you started out in the army. How long did you? Was it you just drafted or?
I was drafted out of a private university in San Diego, California. Like I said, they had to draft me 4 times before I went. They kept saying you're going to go, and I kept saying no, I'm not. And finally, they said, well, you're going or you're going to jail. And I was having a little girl trouble at the time anyway. So
it gave you a good excuse.
What do I do? What do I do? Oh, heck with it. I'm going. So I went. Yeah.
Yeah. And how many years did you end up serving?
Well, the draft was 2 years active duty and then 2 years inactive duty, meaning they could call you up if there was another conflict. But I was in for 2 years.
Whilst you were there, did you get many opportunities to actually vent your acting spirit? Or
yes. In Vietnam, I was in the infantry for half the time. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine used to work for the head of the entertainment department in the Army.
Yeah.
He was a guy I was going to school with. Mm-hmm. And he got me out of the infantry and into entertainment while I was in Vietnam. And I built a theater and tried to put a play together. But then we were attacked as we were auditioning people for this play. And after we were attacked, they moved us to another compound, and the only entertainment there was the swimming pool.
Yeah.
So I ran the swimming pool. I was the only entertainment personnel at that point in Cameron Bay, Vietnam. So I ran the swimming pool and showed the movie at night.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what I did. And I got back to Colorado in the Army at the, Fort Carson, and again was...
That's all right.
And again I was in the... infantry for half the time, and half the time I was in entertainment, and there I was the non-commissioned officer in charge of the Fort Carson Little Theater. So I did a couple of plays there. I did Dracula and Lion in Winter, and I think that's it. Yeah.
And since you, are you still doing a lot of theater work at the moment?
I had not been for some time, but I am now. I'm doing a play that I wrote with 4 other people in San Diego at the San Diego Repertory Theater. It's called the Lyceum Theater in downtown San Diego. We wrote this thing out of necessity because a play we were going to do was the family of Pete Seeger, who the play was about, asked us not to do it because he was freaking out.
Yeah.
He's 94 years old, doesn't want to be famous anymore. So we wrote this one, and it turned out to be a huge hit.
Yeah.
So they're bringing it back. I start rehearsal on the 11th of this month.
Well, break a leg.
Thank you.
And also, it's amazing looking back at your your career history, because you've really been in every single TV program that anyone who watches any sort of TV would have at some point seen your face.
Pretty much.
Because whether it's 90210 or Saved by the Bell or Buffy,
Power Rangers or CSI or West Wing or Seinfeld or whatever.
Yeah. You've had such a huge catalogue of work through your history.
Been around the block a time or two and pleased to still be punching away.
Out of your entire career history, was there any sort of, for you personally, any sort of golden age that you hold on to, like, a lot of fond memories?
It would be Star Trek.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I worked with them for 26, 28 years, yeah. I'm not sure. But the first role was Chorus in Next Generation, and the last one was Admiral Forrest in Enterprise, and there were 10 other roles in between. So you don't do, not many people do one franchise for that many years. You know, it was a place where I used to walk in to the set, and the prop guy would yell, "Vaughn's in the house!" I won't have that happen again in my career. It's, I won't live another 26 years, let alone have that.
And your appearance on Next Generation was pretty much the first real Klingon arc that they had done on,
on
the series.
Other than Worf.
Other than having Worf constantly there. It was the first time they really showed Worf to be, he's not quite a proper full-on Klingon.
Right.
And and also you got to show the Klingon death.
Klingon death yell.
The death yell. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I was pleased to get that role. Really excited about it. It changed my career. The casting director for that show also cast NYPD Blue and Murder One and ER and all of those. So she became sort of a mentor for me. And those roles, of course, got me other roles. So it began the best part of my career.
Yeah. And obviously, when you got round to Enterprise, you had already worked with Scott Bakula once on Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap, yeah. Now, it's an interesting story there, because when we first came to the set to get our costumes on and such, I saw Scott, and yes, Scott and I had done a Quantum Leap together, and in that, I was just a taxi driver. Oh, no, I wasn't a taxi driver. I was Donald Trump's father.
Yes.
Scott was a taxi driver. And we had a conversation from the back seat to the front seat for about 5-10 minutes, and that was it, right? So I get to the costume call for Enterprise maybe 12 years later. Okay. And I stepped up to Scott and I said, "Hey, Scott, we've met before. I was," and he said, "I know you. You were Donald Trump's father in Quantum Leap." You know, it's a testament to his wit and how conscientious he is about
who he's working with.
Who he's working with, and that we are also people, just like him. He's really the kindest guy I've ever met in the lead of any show, and I've done about 100 television shows. You know, really a stand-up gentleman.
And that's a testament to say after that.
Oh, yeah. I've met some real jerks, you know.
Yeah.
Not too many. That guy in JAG, I can't tell you what a jerk he was. I don't care. He can come looking for me. I don't care. But
so the whole crew, was there just this chemistry on Enterprise?
Usually the social standard of a set depends on the guy who is the top guy on the set. If he's a good guy, then everybody's a good guy. They're all happy. If he's not happy, nobody's happy. And Scott, even if he had a bad day, was always really polite. He's such a Boy Scout. I saw him go up to an extra. First, he went up to the stage manager one day and said, "Can you tell me that extra's name? Because he was here yesterday and he did such a good job. I just want to tell him so." And he went up to him and said, "Hey, Dave," or whatever.
Yeah.
"Dave, thank you for coming. You really did a fine job." It's, you know, just makes a point to do that to people.
And just taking that 2 minutes of his time makes someone's entire...
It made that guy's week.
Yeah, you know? It makes it so worthwhile putting in the effort to do what you do. So, and obviously, a lot of the time, your interactions would have been mainly solely with either just Scott and some more admirals, like when you're using Starfleet.
Right.
But then you got to really flourish in the Mirror Darkly.
Yeah, that was fun. That was we were a little over the top in that, but some people say that's
you have to
they
be.
Like that. Well, maybe. Well, I think we did some takes that were more proper for nighttime television. But they picked the ones that were over the top. So, but, yeah, it was great. My first 6 hours in that show was kissing ocean.
How can you moan?
I couldn't complain about that. You know.
No.
And another great one for that character was an episode called First Flight that we did with Carradine. Not John. Is it David? Who are the three Carradines?
Keith.
It was Keith.
Yeah.
Keith Carradine. And Scott and I had several good scenes together. It was great fun. Yeah.
Excellent. So would there be one defining moment in Admiral Forrest's role that you really just think...
Those two episodes were the episodes I enjoyed most.
Yeah. Yes.
There were lots of defining moments.
Yeah.
But those two were the ones I like best.
Well, I would just like to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Also, I wish you so much luck with the new show that you've got coming.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
So, people in the area, where can they find...
San Diego?
Yeah, it's in the Lyceum Theatre, you said.
Lyceum Theatre with the San Diego Repertory Company in the Horton Plaza, downtown San Diego.
Brilliant. And where can they also find your album?
On ebluesband.com. And there's also an Enterprise Blues Band Facebook page that I think will send you to ebluesband.com to get the album if they want it. And I don't know if you can get it off the Facebook page or not. I don't have much to do with either of those. I try to keep up, but I'm just not very good with computers anymore.
But the thing, if you try and keep up with too many, trust me, I'm there with you.
Yeah.
I can only concentrate on one social media aspect at a time.
It gets rough after a while. You know, I like the old email days, and I'm even finding that hard to keep up with these days.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just getting old, I guess.
Brilliant. No, well, thank you so much for talking to us.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Worry, we will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Now, what do you think that tells me about your character?